Watson Hall presents.
The Perishing of Sir Ashby Phipps. With Jimin Beg as the Game Master.
Right, I'm looking through my extensive notes. Dr. Lawn, token in bowl of stir fry. Look terrified.
Token in bowl of stir fry?
Oddly, I hoped wooden thing. Died of apoplexy in a few minutes.
So it sounds like there was a wooden thing which died of apoplexy in a few minutes.
This is a story
been a Cyberman.
From Farnby.
An apoplectic Cyberman. Go on.
Dr. Weston? Mm-hmm. No.
Nope.
Dr. Lorne?
Nope.
Just a chap that he knew.
A chap he knew in Africa.
Found a wooden token in a bowl of stir fry. Chap was dead in a few minutes.
Are you sure it was a stir fry?
Soup, I believe.
No, it definitely says stir fry.
Possibly stew.
I think you need to check your notes.
I think it might be a stew.
Oh, wait, no. Token in bowl of stew dash friend.
Yeah, is this your medical handwriting?
Yeah, look, it's him.
Oh, God.
Everyone needs it.
What is that a prescription for?
Let's find out.
Fry, but stew friend, yes.
Yes, I don't really think you should be putting stew friend from an anecdote from Africa. I mean, that really is stereotypical.
Part Farnby, possible coward, question mark, didn't kill anyone.
Well, no, he's not a coward. He might be a pacifist,
they're
which, to be fair, during Victorian times is the same thing.
Climb Manta on pernicious nervous diseases, which we're supposed to read at the start of this session.
You obtained.
Oh, I found
a handout.
Dang, dang, dang.
See, my notes did help in the end.
Yeah.
We did. I mean, I think we unraveled a big chunk of the plot by working out there's something in the fog / photographization department.
On pernicious nervous diseases by G.G. Kleinmantel. English edition, London. Trubner, 1862. Originally published as a long German stuff that somebody who speaks better German than me will immediately leap in. Exactly. Berlin, August, Hirschfeld, 1860. This fine volume is bound in green leather and contains 10 illustrated plates. Are they also good plates? It is in excellent condition. Much of the book is of very specialist interest. Oh, yes. A chapter on panic and nervous shock and other things that happen to GMs describes how extreme nervous excitement can harm vital organs, notably by inducing heart failure or damage to blood vessels, and discusses several cases whereby patients died as a result of particularly extreme hallucinations caused by severe delusional psychosis or by ingestion of...
gestate a hallucinogenic...
Yeah, of hallucinogenic substances.
Halogen? No, I don't...
Yeah.
Gestating a halogen, you say?
Nothing.
Smoke me a kipper, I'll be back for breakfast.
Well, that does seem really quite appropriate to our current area of concern, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, this was given to me by Dr. Walsh.
Weston?
Weston? Who's Dr. Walsh then?
He's the asylum doctor?
We've not met
him
yet.
Who's Dr. Lorne then?
The one you've made up.
The theoretical boss of the asylum who doesn't actually exist.
I think it's like
the
McDonald's,
founder of the asylum.
You know?
I suspect it's called the Lorne Asylum because it was probably built in a place called the
Lorne.
Oh,
Lorne Asylum. Like, didn't they do...
What, you think her name is Asylum and her first name's Lorna?
No, I think Lorne Asylum did Runaway Train, didn't they? That was a very good joke. Come on, wasn't it like Dawn Asylum or something? He did Runaway Train.
Runaway I don't know. It's like you're moving into John Soul Peel Asylum. Jokes or something.
Come on.
A less good joke, the more you actually slap facts onto it.
Now, see,
you were thinking that Runaway Train. I was thinking the Runaway Train down the track.
Yes, perhaps that's where Soul Asylum started, and then somebody said, oh, see, that's copyright. You've got to change it a bit.
I had a joke, but I'll save it.
Let's it can age like a fine cheese.
Yeah. Right, I am still a Dr. Weston.
Mm-hmm.
A very good doctor, you might say, the best Weston. That was a joke.
He hasn't killed anybody, any patient, since you met him. Which, for this era, is pretty good going.
Everyone does. Mm-hmm.
So we appear to have eliminated the fortune teller on account of it being a sham. We're dubious of Mrs. Marrow.
The doctor is pretty sure, and he doesn't seem to feel there's anything unusual about the apoplexy, other than he's just very... It's just a thing that happens if you get too stressed. And then he's given me a book to say... If you get too stressed, you might die, basically.
Yeah. He didn't seem to know about the dreams and seems to perhaps think it was slightly more likely that something health-wise was going on, considering the chap had terrible dreams, which, as you know, is probably in keeping for the era.
Yes.
Alternatively, from what that book says, could have been some sort of hallucinogenic substance.
Yes.
Could have been poisoned.
Or a psychosis of some description that we didn't know about.
Well, let's not forget, the balance of his mind had been severely disturbed by Dickens.
you'd basically take it that he died while... What book was he reading? Great Expectations?
Bleak House.
Nobody has great expectations when they're reading Dickens. Bleak House is much more appropriate.
Not of the first one, anyway.
I like Dickens. I'd rather read Dickens than a Bronte.
I had no idea you'd
ever
dipped.
The spin-off of this campaign is the people hunting down Charles Dickens before he can be allowed to publish again.
Time travellers from the future. Okay.
Let's circle back to that later, Roger.
I feel you
have something there.
So this, I'm showing everyone the pernicious diseases as we're in our traditional pub.
Just the book, I hope, not the symptoms.
For the Sunday lunch. The pubs do Sunday lunch, do they? Don't
no.
they really? No. Well, we'll go back to the house for Sunday lunch. Presumably. And I'll show everyone my pernicious diseases.
Mm-hmm. The house.
I think we probably, unless we've been invited, I don't think we're going to just turn up at the house.
They're not going to be serving food for guests. It's not going in the morning.
Well, we aren't guests because they're in mourning.
Yeah, I think possibly the
I'm all right,
is more likely...
I'm all right.
Where are we going to get a Sunday lunch?
Is it a hotel?
I've no idea.
We'll arrange something.
Yeah, you get some food.
For those of us who went to the Colonel's place, we were fed nicely, thank you very much. So,
yeah,
hey.
It's not a Catholic church, is it? I mean, we could grab some wafers or something.
Trent's substantiate, mate.
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah. A little bit like dehydrated food, isn't it?
Yeah, same thing.
Transpiration, it's a transcriptioner, you know, whole thing. It's supposed to be transpiration.
Well.
Anyway.
Right, well, tomorrow, it's Sunday, so we're not going to Norwich?
No, we're not going to Norwich. We also need to speak to the other guy who lost with the marrow.
Why did you want to go to Norwich?
Because of the Yates and Sundries in Norwich.
No, he thinks Norwich actually means Lincoln.
Is that true?
Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about it. I speak some Nicholas, but I do struggle at times.
No two occupy the same space in my mind.
It's not Norwich. Manchester or London or Plymouth, so, you know.
Exactly.
Perhaps worth noting that Yates is not, in fact, in Lincoln either. He's just Lancaster, which is where you are.
No, Yates is, but no, we were talking about the photography place.
Right. Wasn't it?
Yeah. He's not Yates.
He's not Yates.
Bootwell of Norwich, I've written.
You've actually written Norwich.
Mabel Thorpe's family, dash Lincoln, arrow, gentleman assistant, arrow, Boatwell of Lincoln, or Bootwell of Lincoln.
So you haven't written Norwich?
Oh, no, I haven't written Norwich. I was reading that as Norwich.
Better write it down now before you forget.
That's weird. Is it some sort of mnemonic or association with Robin Hood and his togs of Norwich green?
Never appropriate Robin.
How are you spelling?
Appropriate. You didn't listen to how I pronounced it.
Robin Hood, protector child of the poor.
So what are you doing today?
Well,
we want to go see Mr. Yates.
Yeah, so we've met up again after Dr. Weston and Bernard.
Sounds like something go and see at, you know, Leeds City Variety. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Weston and Bernard.
Well, you see, the only Bernard I could think of was basically Nursey. Manny? No, Nursey in the second...
Nursey's not my real name.
Surely Cribbins before Manny.
Come on.
Surely Clifton before... Anyway, who's the big one in the Carry On film? Breslau?
Usually.
Sunday, what?
Right, well, we're going to Yates's in
Wine Lodge?
Lincoln.
How?
Yeah, I thought we'd established that Yates was in not Ancaster. In Lincoln.
He's in Ancaster. He's just down the road.
Who is Yates?
That's a bit more doable.
Yates is the other Marrow guy and owns a general store called Yates and Sundries.
There we go. Well, let's go there then.
I think it's not a complete waste of time, but he might have some tonic wine in stock, so, you know.
It's not going to be open,
You go to Yates and Sundries, which is, of course, closed because it's Sunday.
I mean, there's a possibility he lives above the shop.
Probably.
Yep. Should we knock him up?
Or behind it.
Let's try it.
By all means, give it your best shot.
You're knocking on the door.
Do you know, it is like... You're right, Ben. I mean, it is like basically watching a musical, isn't it?
You're after, you know, a little while, you'll hear the sound of feet and someone coming downstairs, and a lady of uncertain age will stick her head out.
Hello, Mr. Yates.
Yes.
Yes, dearie. Yeah,
we're here from Norwich. Go on, Mr. Charming.
Ah, oh, hello, madam.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry to bother you on the day of our Lord.
Wasn't it a surprise?
We're just wondering if we might be able to talk to Mr. Yates about a marrow.
he's got a few questions to answer about marrow.
there might be a kind of brief flickering glance around you all.
If she says she is.
You've got a reverend with you.
Has she said who she said she
is? No, she hasn't said it.
Well then. Yeah. God, unlikely.
It's like last of the summer wine, isn't it? Gentlemen. And she'll sort of pull the door to and you see, Ernest!
Ernest Yates.
Feet ascend.
The marrow failure.
Slightly heavier feet descend. There is a gentleman who is... A gentleman is perhaps not the apt term. There is a man.
He's got a shop, so he's obviously not a gentleman.
A mercantile sort. A monger of some kind.
A marrow monger, perhaps.
A marrow monger. A costermonger, perhaps.
Well, I can't give it away now.
Sundry monger. with the sort of traditional costume of, you know, a shop-owning type on his day off.
A leather apron.
And very unlikely else. On his day off, unless he's also doing some woodworking or something.
Yeah,
isn't
looking a bit more relaxed than usual.
I feel braces, I possibly feel a knotted suit.
He has the air of a man who might have been having a kip.
Maybe a knotted hanky.
There isn't one, but from the slightly dishevelled hair, you might draw some conclusions.
Mr. Yates, we're terribly sorry to disturb you on this fine day. We just wonder if you might be able to ask you a few questions. It won't take up much of your time.
We're not really open for business.
No, this is not related to shop matters. It's marrow related.
I suppose you better come in then.
Is this, does he think this is some strange code or something?
He knows, but he's the man with the marrow, isn't he? He knows what it means.
He'll let you in. He seems more perplexed than anything, but you are very part.
Don't mind me, so... I'm just working on my alibi.
The man right, with you
the,
are?
The
right,
third rate marrow.
Right, you are.
How do you sir?
I'm sorry, you go on.
I was just sort of filing in. How do you do, Mr. Yates?
Afternoon, sir.
Apologies for the abrupt entrance, as it were. Howarth, by the way. Benjamin Howarth.
Pleasure to meet you, sir. Pleasure to meet you. Well, we must always be hospitable.
Yes, indeed.
The good Lord would tell us.
I will please. Grab him by the hand, pump his hand. Captain Newman, sir. Captain Newman, just here for the comedy value. And carry on.
Excellent. Yeah,
comedy value, and carry on.
He's got a good meaty handshake, you know. Probably literally.
I mean, it comes to something when you're in a party with a man who is secretively tapping his nose when he mentions the word marrow and a vicar, and yet you're the one who announces that he's here for the comedy value. I mean, that's setting expectations high.
As I did manage to introduce myself first, I'm going to wait till last for Max on impact, so I'll let the Reverend do it.
Take you all into the... There's a small, you know, fairly humble sitting room, because it's above the shop. And they're clearly not particularly used to entertaining guests of your calibre,
actual number.
Indeed, but yeah, well, they might have, you know, quite large families visiting at times, you suspect.
If I ever like answer the door and like four disparate characters of different professions and ages all want to come in and ask me a question, I'll know that I'm a character in a role playing game and not even a PC.
Or possibly you're in Cluedo.
Remember, the thing you must, under all circumstances, avoid is never say you'll meet them later to tell them something of pressing importance which you cannot possibly talk about now.
I'll just get some handouts printed.
There's too many situations where that happens.
Most of them are masked, aren't they?
No player I have ever met would have any truck with that. If you've got something to tell us, tell us now, sir.
Right now.
I refuse to leave the premises.
Well, you know,
when Martin tried running the masks, he got the start, and he decided it would be a good idea to have everybody meet Jackson Elias beforehand. This was before there was the prequel adventure. Because he's like, well, you know, it's your friend Jackson, nobody knows him, there's no investment there. So thinking through, he went, yeah, right. So he's running it, and he starts off, he made a mistake of having his wife play the game, and she wasn't really a role player. So she, unlike the rest of us, wasn't going along with the conventions. She was reacting to what was happening. So when he said basically that, she went, don't be daft. Well, you're talking about these strange people around, these suspicious characters, we're coming with you. No, I can't, I've got to go alone. No, I won't hear of it. Right, off we go. He eventually had to stage a drive-by shooting to kill Jackson Elias, which I felt rather changed the tone of the
match. Yeah. I think I sort of feel like if I were ever to run it, I would start on the assumption someone would find a way to keep him alive, and I had to be able to provide all the information he would have.
You just have to make sure all the PCs are out of the country when Jackson Elias died.
Little do you know that 20 days before I met any of you, I swallowed this long-action poison.
I did actually have the idea of just have it that he's been poisoned while on the journey, and he's in a terrible state of health.
Yeah,
it's not really relevant.
It's like DOA, isn't it, the film? Where he's got to solve his own murder.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think he'd die at the end, but he does.
No, he does. Well,
did you miss the title?
Well, I thought it was a fair bit twist.
No, because the whole point is that what he's taken is, you know, he knows he's going to die, which is the whole thing. It is very sad because he also meets somebody finally and so on and so forth.
Anyway, I feel we're diverging massively from Mr. Yates and his wife, who are looking expectantly at you.
And I am Professor Zane.
Spencer, by the way.
Letting the Reverend introduce himself. Perhaps you've heard of me.
Don't
be ashamed. Very few people have.
Not really the reading sort myself so much, sir, but what sort of...
Esoteric mysteries. Dark, hidden mysteries from the depths of mankind's black soul.
Reason, Doctor.
Just popular bollocks, really.
How do you keep doing this? Oh, the Professor Zane!
That's right!
His wife has the expression of someone who is suddenly very interested in the annoying visitors who've just shown up on Sunday afternoon.
Interview, in the Devon Times.
I actually
live in Devon, I can't think of the Devon Times.
Offer to sign a copy.
About the mysterious Crediton elephant.
She does, in fact, have a copy of not your latest, but one of your books.
Ah, one of my finest works.
Yeah, you rolled a critical success there.
Would you be interested in a signature? Oh, hand it here, I'll do it. What was your name?
Yeah, sure.
I can do anybody's.
What was your name, my darling?
Ethel.
Creepy use of my darling, wasn't it? To Ethel.
In front of a husband, yes.
And hugs.
On a Sunday.
Make me round the back later.
Zane. You can meet me. Very good. And I'll tell you what, Ethel, just for you, I will pull out a copy of my latest book. At a special discount price. No. I will hand her a copy and I'll sign that one as well.
She is delighted.
You're very welcome. I will stand back with the air of a man with terminal smugness and a job well done.
Can't believe he's successfully forming fan club in Ancaster.
Come on,
this is ridiculous.
So, there you see, this handsome part work can be yours for just...
does it come with a case and then there's space for the 20 volumes?
Yeah, you get that, with the first one, which is free. Only 2 and 6. And then subsequent ones are a guinea an issue, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Ethel, I wonder if you could help me because this is
Ethel's a bit forward, isn't
hush,
it?
Hush, hush. Sorry, Mrs. Yates. We're actually on a fact-finding mission for my latest novel. And I wonder if you might be able to help us with a few questions, or maybe Mr. Yates could help us too.
Oh, come on, Ernest. What was it you were wanting to find out, Professor?
I'll lean forward conspiratorially. So
we'll all have to lean forward as well.
Yeah, everyone leans forward. Yeah.
It concerns marrows.
Marrows.
I'll let my friends fill in the details, and I'll step back.
Unseasonable marrows, but...
unseasonable. That is the title of my next book.
Unseasonable and indeed unreasonable. Possibly infeasible. We understand that you were... people were somewhat surprised by the results of the contest. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, it's a bolt out of the blue, I don't mind telling you, Mr. Howarth.
Very unlikely in the marrow-growing world that people don't know about the competition, isn't it? I mean, I thought it was quite a friendly rivalry, but a fairly small community.
Hard for you, but... Well, I mean, the thing is, sir, who would have thought that a lady would have taken it into her head to start growing marrows?
Shocking.
Very peculiar.
None of us were. We were taken aback, sir. That's
and
what
she
we
wasn't... Is she known for being a great vegetable gardener?
I mean, I believe she's a very passable cook. Perhaps...
Well, it's more the other end
took
of it,
took an interest
it?
From kitchen garden.
And incredibly, on her first attempt, grew a prize-winning marrow.
So it would seem, although there are... I have heard some ill-tempered, I'm sure, some speculation that she may have had assistance in the matter from unspecified...
Oh? Obviously, anything you tell us will stay strictly contre nous.
Well, indeed, there might be a cousin
Yeah,
from near Grimsby Way, who's had some success in the vegetable business.
You think the Marrows are
Grimsby?
Well, I wouldn't dream of going that far, sir, but it's possible there's been some untoward assistance in a sort of unsporting sort of fashion.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps.
Well, that won't do.
How is the provenance of the Marrows established in such a competition?
It is a matter of honour, sir.
Trust, you see. When you're dealing with people who obviously wouldn't, under normal circumstances, consider such an underhand slight as that.
No.
And you know, thus was radioisotope analysis invented 90 years early.
Well, as I said, sir, I don't hold with it. I will take my loss.
Now, did you think, Mr. Yates, that the Marrow in question was superior to yours?
Did was you it 6 foot long, that, bright please? Purple, and glowing with an unearthly light? Anything like that?
No, it was a fair judgment. Decent marrow, considering that none of us really could have produced marrows at this time of year anyway. It was
a funny time to be having a
marrow. Arguably speaking, it was a fine marrow. I
was growing asparagus, but she grew a marrow.
I would not falter. I would not dispute the judge's decision.
Okay.
You certainly seem to be a man who knows his onions.
Onions, marrows, hollyhocks, all of them.
Did anything strike you as particularly unusual about Sir Ashby on the day? Did you know the man?
Of course, yes. We had a chat, and he was very gracious. Shook hands, said a few words after the competition. He's always,
I imagine,
very
you
amiable.
As well.
I held my peace, sir. I might be
wise counsel, very wise.
I thought it best to bite my tongue.
I will say that everybody expecteth the defeated man to seek revenge. Let him wait instead at the turning of the moon.
That's what my granny always said.
Oh yes.
But alas, he's perished too early for me to wreak a terrible vengeance. Looks disappointed.
Not
at the
that you're
sacrificial dagger.
Implicating yourself in any way, but you seem quite well. One would expect perhaps a stronger reaction from someone regarding Sir Ashby's death. Surely you're not in any way.
Surely he's their liege lord.
I don't think it quite works like that. Even speaking as landed gentry, I'm not quite sure. Much as we'd like it.
I don't like them to actually come out and say it.
He's a very fair squire, sir, a very fair squire. And, you know, I had my share of winning the competition, I had my share of losing it to Colonel Barnby. Then this time, there's a dark horse coming out of nowhere. Well, I will.
I see. So no ill will towards Sir Ashby.
Not anymore, sir. Perhaps not anymore. For the first day or two. Not towards Sir Ashby,
but
no. Once
he got his comeuppance, you were happy.
No. It was really very, very unfortunate. That's what I would say.
The reason we're here, of course, is relating to Sir Ashby's tragic demise. And you'll understand that there has been speculation that possibly the contretemps, shall we say, the fracas,
really
the
not,
ill
sir.
Will around the Marrow situation could possibly have caused either the delinquency of mind that ultimately led to his death, or perhaps somebody involved may have wished revenge. And we'd like to clear everyone involved from that, of course.
Well, I'm not sure, Benjamin, we should be... Perhaps this is all sub-judice.
No. There's no judity at all, I don't think. Is there?
Not in his parts, no.
No, not even punch. No,
get those
no,
in Norwich.
No kind of tea.
Don't even have Methodists around here.
Good thing, too.
It's the trouble with Methodists, they never break character.
That is the main trouble, though.
No, sir, it was a shame. I was very disappointed.
Do you still
when I saw what happened with the competition?
Are you aware what happened to the prize-winning marrow afterwards?
I imagine it went back. We just take them back normally and Make a casserole or some such.
Marrow casserole. Jesus, the way these people live.
Casserole.
Barbarians.
There's not much else to eat around Lincoln.
Why would... Oh, that's where we... No, we're not in Lincoln, are we? Where are
You're
we?
You're not around far. Lincoln.
We're in Lincolnshire.
Oh, right.
The Shire of Lincoln.
I see. What? Okay.
So
they won't. They won't keep too long after.
Well, no, they've got their own taste in a hard shell, aren't they? Like a.
Well, so's an egg, but an egg won't keep forever.
They're not M&Ms.
Hmm.
To be fair, it isn't like having a packet of minstrels.
To be fair, neither M&Ms nor minstrels will keep for more than several months.
Okay.
You've held them in your hand that time, and the bastards have melted.
It was only a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
A plucked marrow will not keep.
Oh, I forgot the old grand
used to say.
Oh dear. Hey, Reverend, I hope you're writing that down. I mean, that sounds like the sort of thing you could use in one of your sermons.
Marrow.
And a plucked marrow is very much like the way Jesus died on the cross. You can have that one for free, Rev.
Anyone else got any line they want to take with this? I assume you have an alibi, of course, Mr. Yates. For the time,
one in the back of the shop.
For the time of, you're a wit as well. I'll remember that.
Oh God, no, I'm scared.
This is different. This is called acting, my love.
Well, thank you.
Sorry,
I don't think we have further
trying,
questions. Mrs. Beverly, have we spoken to Mrs. Beverly?
I actually
yes, at the church.
I wouldn't mind actually. Really, really quick question for Mr. Yates.
Mm-hmm.
Has he ever had anything to do with going to Africa?
Africa? Well, that's a long way off. No, sir.
Did you deal with any African trade goods, perhaps?
There might be somewhere.
You haven't got any pieces of old ships in the shop? It's a bit of a long question, isn't it? Any bric-a-brac like that?
Better off trying Grimsby.
Yeah, lots of ship shops there.
You've got to keep your ship shop ship shape, of course.
All ready for the next flood.
It's more, you know...
Getting terribly close to Bob Loblaw's law blog, isn't it?
It's more, you know, household goods and...
Okay. Anything from South America you might have in your...
Couple of capybaras?
Fresh?
Dude.
Ah, yes. The honorary fish.
The piranha? I mean...
All right.
I, you know what? I don't actually know what you have in a sundry shop. Goods come from South America.
I think it's the same
States,
as like a bric-a-brac.
Probably got some coffee.
Rolled on the thighs of a Cuban virgin, presumably.
What?
You
for an extra
may
fee.
Be confusing that with something else.
Okay, right.
Sugar. That's what they roll up. No, perhaps not. I never really understood why would you roll anything on a virgin.
That's what you're doing.
Busy in the army, were you then, Captain? plenty of duties keeping.
Well, I mean, mythical creatures went wherever the army is, so.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, those things, aren't they? They're half fish, aren't they?
It's at the time. We really should be here.
You're thinking of vergers.
Oh, yeah, vergers. The mermaids of the parish.
No, that's the grass by either side of the. Either side of the hedge.
What's happening? Have we? What did he slip in our tea?
So we were talking about people having hallucinogenic drugs administered to them, and for a second I thought I saw a role-playing plot, and then it was gone.
We're still waiting for the tox report from the autopsy.
Yeah,
fact, we were
things are actually so much easier.
Years.
I mean, so much easier in modern day when you really get down to it, aren't they?
Got all the usuals, you know, as a coffee, opium, laudanum.
Oh, lovely.
Beer. You know.
Did Sir Ashby purchase his sundry, or did Sir Ashby's gentleman purchase any sundries from you, or did they get them in from elsewhere?
Oh, we sent up some household goods. Yeah, boot polish and...
I'm sure you don't mind.
Did you send? Didn't send that over to the verger as well? Did you, by any chance?
He was in here the other day. Actually,
oh, God, that's a good point. I don't suppose you mind me. Anything unusual to go to Sir Ashby in recent years, leading to his demise?
I can check the books if you like, sir.
If you wouldn't mind, we're just interested in anything that may have been different in the last 3 weeks before Sir Ashby. Perished
was killed.
In such a by his own heart.
Well, no. In such
he
a
will
well,
go and get the ledgers.
This isn't
through.
A murder investigation, unless you count the spirit world.
Nothing unusual shows up in the ledgers.
Right. Okay.
Well, thank you, sir. Don't wish to keep you too long. This is, after all, a day of rest.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you
except for the reverend, he's always working.
I hope you gentlemen will have a good rest yourselves.
Oh, no rest for the wicked.
And obviously,
rest maybe
perhaps once they get them back to their keeper.
See you tomorrow at the funeral.
We'll see you there, sir.
Do we have to go to the funeral?
What makes you think we're attending the funeral, Mr. Yates?
Because he just said, see you at the funeral.
Yeah. Good day.
I didn't say which funeral.
Well, chaps, I think I'm getting the hang of this investigation log.
Oh, it's very good. You have a very
we ask a lot of questions. Are we supposed to have a list of them, do you think?
No, it's all in
I
here.
I mean, I'm just... whatever... Oh, well, perhaps you could tell me. I mean, I'm just saying whatever sort of comes to mind, really.
Well, we need some kind of working thesis before we can ask questions on it.
God, tell me we haven't got to write a thesis before we go further.
Please don't. I've wrote one if effectively putting this thing together.
I mean, we...
Can we borrow it?
It's 120 pages long. Do you really want
really
to read it?
Really, what we're doing, Benjamin, at this stage is fishing, I believe it's called. We're just looking for anything, any twinges of spiritual uncertainty, any vibrations in the... other world, which we may pick
Isaac
up.
Walton. The
yes.
Complete angler.
Yes.
If we're fishing, we could perhaps take... I don't mean it literally. I'm thinking...
Oh, yes, very.
There may be something in that book, his methods for sort of catching the fish, that we could transfer into the world of catching the culprit.
Well,
it has certainly been said that everything of importance can be found in that book. By heretics, of course, but...
Well,
it tells you how to tie a fly.
The fish that we are looking
presumably
for...
Presumably you've got to catch it first. But...
decidedly paranormal cast. Is paranormal a word? It's probably not yet, is it?
No.
Supra...
You can invent it.
Normal adjacent.
I think we're even we're even too early for abnatural.
Oh, God.
Don't worry about it.
To be fair, the occult is legit at this point.
Well, well the occult isn't legit, no. Occult just means mysterious, unknown. It's not, yeah, you know, flim flam.
You know, one of them. Anyway,
well,
beyond
basically what he does.
The ken of rational science.
It's 1866, was it?
Well,
science is not 100% rational at this stage.
We've done the hieroglyphs stage. And everything. It's not like Isaac Newton.
We've got hieroglyphs, we've got phlogiston, we've got the heliocentric theory.
We know all about the ether. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know about ether. That was certainly a big one.
Mm. Anyway.
A smell of petroleum pervades through. Okay.
Anything else you want to do?
You
have got access to Lady Well Hall and its resources, if there is anything you wish to do
But
there.
Again, on a Sunday, little trick, I think we should have something very specific in mind if we're going there.
Aren't we staying there?
No.
Where did I sleep last night, then?
At the pub, where you're staying.
Okay.
At the railway inn.
Oh, I see. But we can just pop in and have a look around the library. We cannot just pop in.
We can turn up and go in if we're let in. It's not our house.
All right, well...
You may be used to open doors, Professor, but your fame no doubt precedes you.
I suppose I only know what it's like to go into a house as Professor Zane. I don't understand what it's like to go into a house as a normal person. That doesn't. That makes me sound like a...
True words were never said. Never said. But,
I mean... Oh, fuck off.
Does that mean you want to go to the house?
Well, what are
we
going
to
do?
We need...
Library
yeah, mentioned? We need only if there's a specific thing, I think, that we need to check. Yeah. If we're just trawling, go there on a day that's not either Sunday or the day of the funeral.
I think we need to go back to the pub,
mm-hmm.
and the professor needs to buy his round.
Is it my round again?
Yes, it's Sunday.
Oh, I see.
And you've just sold a book.
Well, I gave it away. It's always nice. It's always nice to meet the fans.
The tax man, eh?
Yeah, I've successfully evaded tax on that book. That's true. All right, 12 pints again. Is that right?
For a fiver, sir?
something for yourself, of course.
Okay, our next... I mean, really, we're all chomping at the bit to get to the photographizers in Lincoln.
But we can't get there before the funeral.
No. Is the funeral first thing in the morning?
It doesn't really matter. We can't get there before the funeral.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably late morning.
I don't know if this marrow is a red herring.
No. That explains why I didn't win.
No, in no way, shape or form is it a fish of any description, I think, I'm afraid.
I feel like it's a dead end if it's not a red herring.
So I do not believe that anything, because I must admit, I was hoping that Yates would be a lot more suspect than he actually was.
Apart from the fact that he was talking about wanting to get his revenge.
He did have motive.
He did have motive, that's exactly the thing.
Yeah, but he didn't actually have any... I mean, he'd have liked to have got some revenge, but you kind of got the impression that that was like, you know, on a Sunday, every other Sunday afternoon, you know, where that's when he'd start thinking about it. The rest of the time, he didn't have time to think.
He's
Anyone
got
who wishes can make me some kind of insight role.
All kinds of stuff in his shop. Easy to get hold of things. That's a 7. That's got to be good. Insight, where's that?
I don't know. I've got a 41. And I've
thoroughgoing failure, I'm afraid.
Can't actually read a damn thing.
My PDF, and my insight is 50. Oh, I have succeeded.
My insight is 70, so rolling a 7 is quite good.
Extremely good. Your read on this chap, Benjamin, is he is the sort of person who will be probably really quite miffed at having not won. Perhaps particularly to not his expected rival.
To a lady.
To a woman.
A woman. To a third party.
An amateur in the Marrow League.
Certainly a sort of, what's this woman doing getting involved in our Marrow business?
The
Garrick Club all over again.
But that he is perhaps more the sort of person who would complain at it at great length and frequency to his wife.
And he wouldn't necessarily want to lose a big customer.
Rather than try and assassinate the squire.
He didn't say, when I was asking him, was it fairly judged? Did he seem bitter or...
No, he seemed, he actually seemed like, he actually thought, He was legitimately outmarrowed.
Yeah, grudging respect.
Well, we've all been to boarding school.
Perhaps.
Some not since age 15, but, you know, takes all sorts.
I don't visit as often as I used to.
Very few people are as enthusiastic at accepting those invitations to speak at the boys' prize giving.
Is there a Lovecraftian explanation for this prize-winning marrow? And now I'm thinking of the marrow out of space.
Purple and throbbing.
That I wasn't thinking.
I don't think we've got anything specific we're going to do until we go to the photographizes.
Well, you should probably have a look through that book of yours, because that seems like you might have something.
What, Klein Mantle?
Sorry, when I say the book of yours, I don't mean your own book. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Your ghostwriter probably summarized it. But the one that you borrowed would perhaps give us an idea of what kind of thing might introduce this.
Well, I'll have a look through it. Any mention of arrows? Look at the image.
The phallic symbolism is obvious, of course.
Am I being too
good
specific?
Point.
The phallic
Probably.
Symbol. Well,
hold on though.
If
this
it's
token
than it's
business.
Thin, it can be a phallic symbol.
This token. So this doctor reckons that the token can be a sort of a trigger, if you like, something that sets off the hallucinations. When did mesmerism start? Never mind, we'll skip that.
I think we are mesmerism. Poe wrote a big story about mesmerism.
Did he? Right. Good on
you. I think that might be George.
I think if it's some sort of a trigger that sets off these hallucinations that causes somebody to ultimately die in some circumstances, then when would he potentially have been exposed to such a trigger, assuming there was one, and what form would it have taken? Could it have been something in the book?
Could be. Was that a Dickens aside? Could someone have slipped some symbol in?
Well, something like a bookmark, for example, or something unexpectedly put into the pages of it that for some reason this could have potentially been set up in advance.
He's strongly ability. My understanding of the thing, although I have seen things peculiar and beyond the knowledge of man, if someone is
not anymore, obviously, if you've seen them.
Oh yeah, okay, within the knowledge of at least one man. But if someone is primed to think something, like the chap eating his stir fry with the stew.
You were doing really well. Thanks for trying, Nick.
If he had believed the occultism, there doesn't actually have to be magic involved. Sometimes the
of course
there
isn't magic involved. Stuff and nonsense.
That's my whole career. But
do go on, Professor.
Well, it's awfully presumptuous of you, Benjamin, to assume that man knows everything.
Of course man doesn't know everything.
No, that's God's job.
Exactly. Plenty that the Lord, keeps to himself.
Well, the reverence and I are in agreement.
We shouldn't inquire.
There is a spiritual realm.
A what?
A realm. Which realm? Which sometimes...
A realm? He was overwhelmed.
Marriage!
Which sometimes reaches across the veil to prod our meaty bodies. I don't know where I'm getting with that. So I'm going to stop talking.
Mark, Roger, over to you.
Please.
Well, the captain...
There has certainly been a contamination that reached Sir Ashby, and the timing is right for it to be associated with this photograph. Now, the only way I can see to verify that, of course, is for somebody else to take the photograph into their possession and see if it has some of the deleterious effects on them. So, Professor!
of course, you must be inured to this sort of thing.
You mentioned
Professor.
Something very interesting earlier today or yesterday about this belief that the mere act of being photographized takes out of one's soul.
Yes, it's something I believe some tribes people believe. They'd never seen an image of themselves. They didn't have
reflecting
pools. Now
I
think about it, they
didn't
have
a dark
pools
room.
Of water or anything, no.
Well, what if the increasing...
It actually sounds like nonsense when you think doesn't it?
Think it through. What if the increasing power of these photographs, which are becoming more and more real, is actually having an effect on the spiritual heart of man and women, but mainly men? This is why I think there is something to the Reverend's thoughts about the photographization. I don't think it's possession of the photograph itself. I think it's the act of being Fatogued, which is, it's not my area, which is potentially the problem. But we all must agree it's a peculiar, well, we don't have to, I don't presume to. We live in a good clean monarchy, not an autocracy, like the Russians. Oh, they're a monarchy as well. Anyway, currently, you mark my words, within 50 years they'll have had a revolution. Anyway,
no, I forgot what I was saying. I'm in very close, but... But actually, no.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. Within 63 years, they'll have had the revolution. I've forgotten how I started this.
Something like photographs.
Yes. No, it's gone.
So, how about? I think what we need to do is at the photographers is to see. Well, is it a particular camera that has taken all these pictures? Did the one used for that book return to England? Is it a particular emotional process that was involved in all of them? Mm. That's the sort of thing we need to be checking.
And was it the same photographer or assistant, depending on how these things?
Didn't they establish... Mapplethorpe
was the one who took the photographs for the Birkenhead book.
Yes, well, I don't know if they generally work alone or if they have an assistant who maybe
the gentleman's assistant was Bootwell? Is it Bootwell?
No, that's the photographer. He did have an assistant,
but we never found out who it was.
So what I'm suggesting is that if there are two people involved, it's perfectly possible that one person may be innocent. Oh, I suppose both of them could be innocent. But it may not be the obvious candidate, if you see what I mean. So we shouldn't exclude the fact that maybe, let's say we were right and the photographer is to blame, but it may not actually be the photographer himself. His assistant could be working through him, if you see. So we should keep these things in mind.
Let's just take a think. We have a copy of The Curse of the Birkenhead. Yes?
Yes.
I'll just have a quick skim through that and see, does it actually say what happened to Mapplethorpe? Because he's not the author. We've established that. He's provided some photographs.
Give me a second.
Does it say what happened to him?
Oh. Helps if I spell his name correctly.
And don't start looking for photographs by Mapplethorpe, yeah. If you could just get the bum out of my face, that'd be lovely, thank you.
Sorry.
The cat break is traditional. Hasn't happened for a while.
Ship succeeded.
The...
Been eating fish, have you?
Ship succeeded to Leonard? Don't know what that says.
Captain Lingham, perhaps?
Are these your notes, Nick?
Yeah. Succeeded to Lemony or something.
My idea about having an assistant may perhaps be useful in other circumstances, such as note-taking.
Oh, if only we recorded everything we said.
Or could be asked.
Yeah, could you let me know? I probably said it when I wrote that note, so anyone listening, why did I say succeeded to Lemony about the Birkenhead?
Snicket.
anybody who gets in touch with me will receive a valuable prize, asterisk, very small asterisk.
It doesn't specifically say what became of Mapplethorpe. It does say a lot of the crew sort of didn't, at the time of writing, had basically not got a career left because, strangely enough, if you've been in a ship where everyone's going mad... And people think you're cursed. That doesn't go down very well in sailor circles.
So did everyone...
Unlike the ship, of course.
Did everyone go mad? Was it like Curse of the Pharaohs, where actually one person went mad and everyone was like, oh, well, there you are, see. Or did literally everyone go mad?
It's not literally everyone, but it is a long list of incidents, including replacement crew over a period of several years.
Bit odd, actually, isn't it?
Including Mapplethorpe's family.
Succumbed to lunacy. That makes sense.
Yeah.
There we go. Right.
He's happy now.
It's not a particularly common name. You might be able to find him.
Oh, if only he was, say, in the local sanitarium, for example.
Is he?
I mean, he's presumably not a nobody if he had a position as a ship's photographer.
So how would we... he wouldn't be in Who's Who. That's all I know about Victor. But you look at people in Who's Who.
No, you... Well, there's a... There's, what was the book that you were looking at, Shim? The guide to...
White's Directory?
White's Directory of Notable...
Of dead people.
Is it Lincolnshire? Or Lincoln?
Yeah. The Book of Stiffs.
So, could we look...
The Walking Dead, White's.
Could we look up in White's?
You certainly could.
Is he in Lincolnshire? How do we know that? Oh, because he's got his shops in Lincolnshire.
No.
Bootwell does. But you can certainly look up Mablethorpe.
We could ask Bootwell. He knows Mablethorpe, right. Presumably.
Okay, can we look up Mablethorpe? Because we have the book.
Honestly, you've got a lot of time to kill.
Yeah.
So...
only he wasn't already dead, eh?
Mm-hmm. You... We'll probably find a couple of people called Mablethorpe, none of whom seem the right age to be this one.
Hmm. Any that feel like they might be relatives?
How can one tell?
We can ask Bootwell.
We know his wife and children are dead.
Yes.
But as a Victorian gentleman, he will almost certainly have married again.
Well, no, we don't know they were dead. We know that they succumbed to lunacy.
Sit down to lunacy. That's very satisfying.
I
spelled it wrong. That's why I was confused.
Mablethorpe as Norwich.
Mablethorpe wasn't involved in the photographing of Sir Ashby, as far as we know. It's just
all we've got is
the similarity of the pictures.
I mean, if he turns out to have been working for the studio in fair enough, but we have no reason to suppose that.
Well, that's really... Yeah. All these questions are leading back to Bootwell.
Does the pub that we're staying at have a telephone?
Of course.
If we look up the entry for the...
That's a bit early for a telephone.
You say of course, but...
I was thinking, I must admit, I think we might be a bit hand wavy for certain things.
I mean,
thought this was. Let me.
I think it's a bit early, isn't it?
So it's a while since I wrote this.
Well, we don't want to pick up.
We've got telegraphs, but I don't.
Telegraph.
House telephone.
Can't remember when telephone.
It's because you're not that old, Mark.
The National Telephone Company doesn't get founded until 1881, so...
Probably.
There were smaller local companies that got put together into that. But
they were local exchanges, and I'm thinking that we're probably close enough to Lincoln.
Party line!
If they ran a line out for the squire, for example, they may well have extended it into the
first telephone company in Europe was 1877 or 8.
Fair enough. I thought the early stuff. I thought it was one of the ones where it picked up quite quickly, but perhaps some.
I think it did, but not
that was about 3 years. But yeah.
1876 was Bell's US patent.
You could probably get someone to take a message for a telegram if you wished.
Let's do that. However,
before the development of the electric telephone, the term telephone was applied to other inventions, so they might have one of those.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Well, you need to clean it first.
One of which was basically a gigantic megaphone on a tower. That's amazing. And that would have been around
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Air horns used to communicate in foggy weather. They were around as well. They were called telephones.
I am more than happy to shout at Lincoln and ask.
I'm afraid we're going to have to use the larger of our megaphones to reach Lincoln.
What message, sir, would you like to convey?
I have been wondering this myself, I confess.
Yeah, I have to say we... I think we need a face-to-face, really.
We could do with, yes.
Sorry, have we established what time the funeral is?
It is late morning.
I suppose that at least some of us should go to the funeral, if only to see who else turns up.
But possibly some of us ought to go into Lincoln and do the photographer at the same time.
I was planning on coming to the funeral because I've got my dress uniform with me.
Ah, one thing does strike me though. What if the photographer who has taken a number of portraits for the family has been engaged to work at the funeral?
Well, we could ask at the house.
I suppose we could, yes. Just thinking we don't want to hair off to Lincoln and discover that, yeah, close for the day because he's over here.
Well, let's ask out the house. We can go around the servants'
entrance. Photography work at funerals?
I don't know. I'd call him and ask, but you know.
If I heard this.
Hello! Is that time traveller here? The one with the one who kept asking about Dickens? I mean, perhaps he can tell us.
It's one of those things. So, I mean, there are photos of Victorian funerals.
Were they taking photos of dead people at this point? Because that became a big fad.
That was a thing, wasn't it?
So that may have happened prior to the funeral.
I could tell you some stories of some mysterious.
I imagine
events.
They'd come round to you. You probably don't have to hop on the bus with the the late Sir Ashby.
So, given that. So that was typical for when you wouldn't otherwise have had a photo of the person. As we know, there is a photo of Sir Ashby. Mm. So probably Lady Phipps isn't going to be looking for a mortuary photo. But there are photos of Victorian funerals that are taken, so it is entirely possible.
I mean, it's such a simple thing to check.
Yeah, we'll just check. We'll pop round the house and double check. We don't have to disturb Lady Phipps, we can just check.
Well, no, we can chat with the staff.
Yeah.
You can, yeah. You send a quick message. They have decided it is not something they particularly wish to do.
All right. Well, I'll stay for the funeral, and the captain maybe, and Ben and the Rev can head off to Lincoln.
Good.
I mean, they could go to Norwich if you really want them to, but...
I do the same with Leeds and York, I don't know why.
Very one chat with Burnhamall.
Okay.
Those are at least a bit close together.
That's... At Lincoln and Norwich, not close.
Well, over the sea, they're probably not too bad.
Over the sea.
Anytime you have to say something like over the sea, you're generally involving a bit of a distance, aren't you? I know there are exceptions, like in Scotland, where you can literally step over the... See at one point.
141 miles. All right, I'll give you that. That's quite. Wait, this one says 87 miles.
Shorter miles, you see.
Breathe in.
You're measuring in Norwich miles, are you, sir?
anything else you would particularly like to do?
I think we're out of
anything clever, that's for certain.
Oh, we've been out of anything clever for about the last 4 weeks now. We've only been playing it for, last 5 weeks, we've only been playing it for four.
No, you're doing quite well.
I think we've missed, I have a horrible feeling we have missed something very obvious.
Oh, I'd have thought so, yes.
GM doesn't think we have.
Unless I have.
Oh, good, okay. I think we just need to fast forward.
You did fine. It's a slow burn.
All right.
The whole point of this scenario is it's a slow series of clues that you can pot around.
All right, well, let's skip to the next day.
We're not doing
anything else.
You have a reasonably pleasant evening at a small town pub. It's terrible weather, unexpectedly. I've just rolled 100, so As evening draws on, the heavens open.
The Lincolnshire tsunami of 1866.
Yeah, despite the fact that it's the evening of the 3rd of June, it's
great marrow grave weather.
Oh, that'll make the gravedigger's jobs more interesting.
The moonlight.
Pack them in before they float off.
Penetrates the clouds. It's luckily you haven't gone anywhere because we'd have had a heck of a time getting back. But it does clear up by the morning, thankfully. It's going to be very muddy. Okay, morning comes round. You breakfast on an assortment of period appropriate dishes. Which may or may not include marrows, it's true. And hands up for the funeral?
Me, sir, please, me.
Excellent. And
I suppose it would be a bit odd if the Reverend turned up at the funeral, wouldn't it?
It'd be awkward. Like, people wouldn't know where to look. I'm not judging you.
Right, it looks like we're making our way to Lincoln, then, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can take a train up to Lincoln. Reasonably quick journey.
Yep, seems like.
Okay, who would like to go first?
Oh, let's see what happens. You know, that's dead central, shall we?
Dead central. Okay. Yeah. Lots of people in, you know, appropriately dolorous faces and outfits. People, you know, making sympathetic noises.
I will be there in, presumably. I have a feeling don't you take the braid off or something? I'm sure there's some way of showing the proper proper respect and decorum.
Shave
on the grounds.
Our heads or crotches or something.
Yeah. One of those.
Maybe tidy your moustache or something. I don't know.
Or study on.
Yeah.
Trim it to a little. Fashion that will, like Charlie Chaplin, will probably have at some point in the future.
Mm. Lady Phipps is clearly
gorgeous.
Yes, is clearly struggling, but you know she does her best.
She is surrounded by her staff, and I'm sure her staff. Her son hasn't.
Her son has not, sadly, made it back yet.
Have they managed to contact him at all?
They don't know. So it's possible a contact has reached him, but he hasn't been able to reply yet. But so far she hasn't heard anything.
Confidentially, Captain, it may be a moral failing of mine, but do you find there is nothing quite so attractive as a widow?
I can tell you a bit about some of the floozies in Afghanistan. You know?
Oh.
Perhaps not the most appropriate of time, though.
Oh, okay.
What, at a funeral?
In the midst of life, we are in death, and clearly vice versa. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
War comes from a corner. Colonel Farnby is there.
We will greet our new friends.
Yeah, the curate is there, you know, the vicar is there. Several of the other persons who were mentioned as friends are there.
Okay.
The bishop will actually have shown up for this one.
Wow.
Well, yes, I mean, he's important enough to...
Yeah, and they were friends, you know. So.
Oh, I forgot he was into the bishop.
Yeah. In with the bishop.
As far as you know. Anyone looking like they shouldn't be there or out of place or standing back or, you know, standing in the rain in a dark coat looking grim while everyone... I mean, we're all in a dark coat looking grim.
Not any more than you, really. Okay. The Lieutenant General will actually have shown up.
Which case,
relevant, Captain.
Yes, at which point I will do whatever things I'm supposed to do.
A light nod, there'll be some small talk afterwards.
Yeah.
John Reeve is there. Yeah, nothing particularly notable going on here.
Okay.
You know, no spectral happenings. No. See.
All right, well, we'll endure it.
Yeah, he stays in his coffin, I presume.
as far as I can tell.
You would mention it if he popped out, wouldn't you?
Okay.
All right.
Over to Lincoln.
Right.
Right, Lincoln, bustling city of industry.
Yes.
Let's just track down this photographer, eh?
Yes, I suppose that's the thing to do. Do you think we should...
don't go up the hill.
Should we go in as if we're looking to... I don't know, what do they say? Book a session or something? Or just go in as we are?
I think people enthused by the remarkable process and colour and so on that was used in this photograph.
Which I presume, of course, you brought with you. Right, well, let's do that then. We'll head straight there.
Okay.
Just obviously stop off at Cafe Nero and...
Yeah, pickle brew.
Yeah.
Yeah, you head to the inexpensive quarter of Lincoln where Bootwells is.
I wouldn't have volunteered if I'd realised.
It's, you know, it's a shop studio. There's, you know, it's between, like, you know, a confectioner shop and a stationery shop or something.
Lots of very, very overexposed, soft focus portraits of white families and things.
Probably, yes,
on white rugs.
There's a shop window full of prints.
And this is the job. He beat his second wife to death with a poker. Splendid family man. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes. You know, you've got some landscapes, you've got some architecture, you've got family folk, you know, the kind of thing you'd go in to get your picture taken. They are clearly very good.
That is much more up than I thought it was, Lincoln. Oh.
It's a volcanic plug, isn't it?
No, I mean up the country.
Carry anyway. On,
all manner of jokes, but...
yeah. let us leave those aside.
Yeah, veterinary.
Oh, they've accepted my book proposal. I've got
I'm sure you'll be very happy together. Congratulations.
I hate to mention this, but this probably means you're going to have to write the thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll have a
That always fades out of your mind, doesn't it?
You actually start writing the effing thing. Anyway, I enjoyed the last one and didn't complain about it at all.
I don't know if he's got, you know, a receptionist or something.
Hang on, can we just go back to that slight aside there from... young Dr. Marsh, I did not complain about it in any way, shape or form.
I didn't. I enjoyed the whole process and I will have no memory of how much I complained about it when I'm writing this one until I come to the bit I hated. I got the final proof of the textbook and there were 91 mistakes. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
and right. You thought, bloody hell, anyway. And that was just the preface.
Anyway, carry on. I'm going for a wee.
Okay. Yes, gentlemen. What, you're going inside?
Yes.
Well, yes.
Okay. So, the, you know, doorbell tinkles as you go in.
It does, doesn't it?
There's shelves of, you know, visiting cards and photos and stuff. There's a small counter, and let me see.
So the bell's tinkled. Presumably, somebody will be with us in a moment. I shall
stand
with the very, very patient impatience that people who are not used to waiting have when they're trying not to look put out. Well, I didn't think they'd keep a man of God waiting.
Youngish chap will emerge from round the corner. Very sorry to keep you waiting, sirs. Reverend.
Have I not met you before?
It's a sort of mid-30s sort of chap.
Callow youth.
Yeah, exactly.
What, an 1866?
Clearly hasn't reached the age of discretion. Just dropping by and wants to ask you about a particular photograph. I was jolly impressed. And believe it came from your studio. I wonder if I could find out a bit more about what happened there.
Oh, I should think so.
Who took it? Was there any special process involved? That kind of thing. So this is the one. Sir Ashbury.
Oh, you brought it with you.
As you'll understand, it's sad business these days. But his sad incident, this was taken a couple of months ago, I think. And,
I remember this one actually. Yes, I was there with Mr. Bootwell.
You're the assistant.
Dutton, sir.
Dutton, excellent. Howarth, how do you do? Assistant.
Yes, I remember this. This was 29th. We took quite a few pictures at the fair.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
It's good business.
Well, astonishingly good picture. The Reverend was particularly taken by it. A man who knows a little more about these things than I do.
So it's one of Mr. Bootwell's, sir. It's
And he's available for more work, I take it.
Always, sir. Yes, certainly. Was you wanting to speak with him?
If it would be possible.
He's just in the back, in the workroom, sir.
Don't interrupt anything, ticklish, but...
I should go and ask him, sir. Would you care to take a seat?
We have some
chairs.
Very generous of you. Take a seat on a chair, my word.
It'll sort of show you round into the next room where there's... It's a place where you can sort of pick out, you know, what props you might want in your photograph if you're being photographed here. So they've got, you know, some backcloths and, you know, bits of furnishing and flowers.
I must say, a stuffed walrus seems rather specialised, but...
Well, it's very popular with certain clients.
I wonder if there's a ship.
More fish, you know.
I wonder if there is a bit of ship.
Hey, you're not there. You're having canapes at the funeral.
I don't think he does drugs of any sort.
Oh, I don't know. He's an Afghanistan lad.
Well, opium's not a drug, is it? Goodness me.
I don't have to put that picture in there, but I can show you this one. Yeah, maybe? No, not there. No. Perishing of thrashy tips. There you go.
Yes. This is very familiar. And that's particularly situated for us to trip over on the way in, is it?
Yes.
Well, it's also the standard mark for when they wheel in the dead lion on the trolley.
Oh, just look at that. Magnificent. The special effects of these places are just stunning.
If you glance upwards, you'll see the trap door. It's perfectly placed overhead. Hardly any bloodstains. So he will pop out to the back.
So what's our tack here, Reverend?
Well, find out what was used. What was it? Emulsion, is that the stuff?
Emulsion, right. Emulsion.
And while we're here, perhaps some part of the equipment or the backdrop might have been relevant. There wasn't anything ship-like in the in the picture of Sir Ashby, was there?
Not in the picture of Sir Ashby. No, it was more sort of moor.
Just a thought.
Pretty low on props, you know, in general.
It had slipped my mind about the whole ship business and the curse. I've been focusing too much on other things. What if it was used as part of the camera?
Indeed. Well,
the optics, or
it would need
like
multiple
that.
Stages because this happened when it was still being the ship as well. But, yeah, it's possible.
That's a pretty but if it was on... piece of thinking, isn't it?
It's nothing really.
I'll forget it.
Well, yes, that is a point. Yes. Apparently it was nothing, Nick.
Okay.
Never mind.
Oh, I like it.
Though. No, that does rather undermine my nascent theory.
You said you were glancing through the stuff there. You will find there is a backdrop of a ship where you could pose as though manning the helm. Probably have to stand quite still for quite a long time. But...
certainly safer than helming the man.
Mm. Well, it's better than pretending to be the figurehead. That'd be a damned awkward pose to hold.
Yeah, gosh.
A whore in bed, sucking a dead man. Ah, here, Mr.
Oh, my God.
Oh, now the verses we had at the seminary.
Hello, gentlemen. My assistant tells me you were wanting to speak to me.
Yes,
Mr. Howarth, was it, Reverend?
Yes, Spencer. Fascinated by this particular photograph of the late Sir Ashby.
Oh,
as you see, it has a remarkable depth of colour, which is frankly not the sort of thing one expects from these modern emulsions. Do you have a particular technique?
Yes, I suppose so. So this is one of the for some of the portraits there is a sort of more complex technique that I do sometimes use, which does get these. I'm happy to say has had very good results. Not really worth using for anything but portraits, because to be honest, that's where the money is. You know,
somebody would use just for a picture of a ship, for example.
I wouldn't think so, sir. It's it seems to capture the movement a little better, and I suppose if sails flapping and that sort of thing, perhaps. Mm. But the sort of the vivacity of the human subject is really where it excels.
Mm. Almost seems to capture their life rather than so many of these photographs one sees, where it may as well be a waxwork.
Well, precisely. I can see you've got an interest in these matters, so yes.
Well,
indeed.
I must admit, purely from a point of view of really wanting something like myself. I mean, I don't really like my family, obviously, but one has to have some sort
Who
of
does,
record. I'd no idea you'd met them.
I know many people, sir.
Oh, my God.
Righty-ho. So. We were just fascinated to look further into this. And the Reverend, who does know a little more than I do, I think from a technical point of view, and one might say a spiritual point of view.
Oh no, I wouldn't say that.
we're really trying to work out, is this entirely unique to you? Is it something that's something that's consistent between particular pictures, because the closest thing we've seen to it was taken by another. What was that chap's name, Reverend Spencer? The other photographer.
Mablethorpe, that was it.
Mablethorpe. Yes. Don't know if you know him.
Let me double check something. I believe the name rings a bell, sir.
Would you have brought the book with you?
Of course we would. We've got every example of the photos we could get our mitts on.
Hmm.
Yeah, of course. If you want to show him the book, you can send it to sir.
See, we're thinking there was a great similarity here. That was your point, I believe, Reverend Spencer.
You see here the colours of the Union flag and so on, etc.
You're right. So yeah, it does seem to show a lot of similarity. You wonder if perhaps he was working on something similar.
Well, we wondered if perhaps it was the same sort of model of camera, perhaps something like that. Because obviously, if you had got something quite unique, even though you're certainly not local to me, then it would be worth making the trip.
I think the process we use is really what makes the difference. There's a few different cameras we'd use, for example. I took a smaller one out to the fair.
Because the
studio one's not very convenient to
lug
out, as they say.
You've done the fair.
But
I've slipped into the shims, I think.
I wonder if there's a picture of that marrow.
I don't know why that's funny.
Well, imagine if it's captured the soul of the marrow.
The vengeful soul of the esoteric marrow.
So, you know, it'll show you, you know, you've got this massive sort of
cock.
Big studio camera that he's done. You know, point out, he's got some smaller ones for, you know, travelling work. I take some of these to the seaside certain times of year.
Oh, right. Right.
Folks on holiday, you know, trippers like to...
You presumably have a sample album that we could look at, see some other examples of your work. I'm just wondering if this, the pictures we've seen here are really representative of what you do.
Of course, sir. Yes, yes, yes. We've got plenty on the walls over here, if you care to take a look.
Right, and do they show the same sort of... Okay, some Roger, of them, Roger has gone yeah. very colour out of space. you've just turned magenta.
Ah, there we go, there we go. Yeah, it's a bit two-faced.
It's fine, I'm just need to take some drugs. It's all fine, it's all fine.
We'll be fine.
Well, okay, go wrong. Pressure, cause I... Mark, what are you doing?
My,
Mark's gone horter in the dark.
My light piece would have just died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Huh. That's alright.
Well, so at least maybe, it, maybe you've had a power cut.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Yeah, so there's a lot of prints which you can look at, and you know, it's got all these different.
And the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just thinly sliced. There's you know, churches and fine animals and you know, this sort of thing. Portraits,
finely sliced animals.
Variety of portraits. You will notice the ones that have the that little special something are Ooh. Basically of what you might describe as rich people.
That is a special something.
Mm.
I love the smell of a widow.
Or at least more. Not poor people.
Yes. Because, yes.
You know, there's things of, you know, scenic fishermen.
Ah, yes, you see. So these are the sorts of examples of work that I was interested in.
Yes, those are the... I have a special process which has Don has told you about this, but it's a little more time consuming
and therefore a little more expensive, I imagine.
Of course, sir. A little more demanding.
Quality, of course, yes.
Glad to see you understand, sir. It does. I'm glad to say it produces this. I have some theories. I'm still working on precisely why it's so effective, but it does seem to capture the light more effectively.
Is there some magic ingredient then? Is that the difference?
Try not to look too pained.
Give me some sort of rapport type.
Oh, the wrong man has come. Distinguishing features for my charisma are awkward. Hence occasionally doing things like accusing people of murder, it seems, when in fact he's really just trying to get the facts.
I was trying to aim for something along the lines of charm, but...
I've got charm of 20%.
Yeah. Oh, why am I at a funeral?
I have more than that.
Yeah, don't worry.
Between you.
Don't worry, I've rolled zero something. Yeah. I've just lost the other die.
I've just criticaled it with a 44.
Oh. But that's cancelled out by the 100. It's
0-4.
Okay. Wow.
Excellent. Yeah. You've shown interest in his process.
He's taken my awkwardness as being nerdy and...
Oh, he's a nerd.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, you are talking to a nerd here. This is a man who invents, you know... He's an early photographer. He's an inventor. He's clearly a nerd. How much do you know about these? Have you done a lot with photography?
Well, dabbler, you know.
Yeah, myself, not so much. But I'm
trying to conceal the fact that I know absolutely nothing except what I've read in the last few days.
I'm awfully keen on it now. I've seen the results because. Other things I'd seen, frankly, I mean, they're jolly clever, but a good portrait artist could easily top them. But your pictures, well, this is something else.
Very kind of you to see. So, sir, it's really the difference is in the processing of the for the collodion. You know, it's in the processing. Mm-hmm. Rather than simply
Oh, yes.
Typically, you purchase some silver nitrate for use with that.
Silver nitrate, yes.
But I make my own using very fine silver dust.
Hmm.
And then dissolve that.
Do you know?
Thoroughly evenly in this.
And, good heavens. Where'd you get a thing like that? Silver dust, that must be.
Well, most recently where did I buy that? I've been using a jar I picked up somewhere.
Hello.
Before that, a supply store you can.
Right, but you were having the same results chemist. Before you got that particular jar.
Well, no. So the thing is, it was because the thing is, where was I? I was visiting somewhere and I had an accident. You see, it's one of those.
Was it
accidents.
A tragic accident?
Possibly a tragic accident. It's what exactly was the accident that I mentioned?
It was so severe, I can't remember it now.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, too many pages in this thing. I was out taking some landscapes up in Yorkshire, up in the Dales, and I dropped my bag and I broke my silver nitrate.
a critical problem, I take it, for
of course, you. You need silver nitrate for your collodion, yeah. But
haven't I always said that, eh?
Exactly. I mean, you can see the sort of problem. But so I popped into a few shops looking for silver foil to make a new batch.
Hmm.
And this sort of antique shop, they had a little jar of silver powder.
An antique
shop? So we'll give it a try.
Good heavens.
Yeah. It's,
where was that, did you say?
Where was it? What's the place?
Dunwich.
Otley. Otley. It's up in Otley.
Hmm. Otley? That's miles away, isn't it?
It is miles away.
It's Yorkshire, yeah. The Yorkshire is some distance away from Lincoln.
Yes! Get in, geography!
Take that, Benbridge scholars!
Yeah, it's a lovely thing, actually, yeah. It's, now that you mention it, the lady said she bought that with some old equipment from a photographer who was selling off his things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So, from what you were saying about it's possible, perhaps he was experimenting with some of it. If it was the same chap as had that book.
Fascinating.
He might have been experimenting with something similar.
Fascinating.
That would be awkward if you mean that when you run out. So you could really do with knowing exactly what was in it.
I mean, to be honest, so you get through so little of it for a dose.
Well, I have a large family, you know.
It'll be a good many years before you have to worry about that.
More of a dynasty, really, now I think about it.
No, I mean, if you're interested in the process, I could show you.
Oh, indeed, fascinating.
Yes, please. Cool. Is there someone you could test it on, such as your assistant?
Of course, yes, sir.
Obviously not me.
I'll show you into the what's the word? Workroom.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Dark room.
There is a dark room, but there's also a workroom.
Well, I mean, I wonder if perhaps. Look, I'll pay for the full experience, but could we see it from, soup to nuts, as it were? Take a photo, and then we'll watch it through as you work on develop it.
Well, of course, sir. So if you. Well, I suppose we'd start with preparing the. Have you been in a dark room before, sir?
Oh, many, many times, yeah. Not unlike this, though.
Well, just be a little careful. Some of these are a little sensitive.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't realise you were so close.
There's a little shelves and shelves of chemicals. There's a sign pinned up saying, do nothing in haste. Various things have, toxic labels on them.
I mean, that is very bad advice for CPR.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess this is
an advanced thing at this point, though, is it?
For free CPR.
Yeah.
This is the.
Are we still at the smoke up the bottom with the bellows? Are we at that
stage? We might not. Oh, yes, we probably still are.
Well, nobody thinks it's actually useful. It's just it for fun.
I mean, it's something to do until the coroner arrives, isn't it? And, you know, it was presumably the first time it happened, it was the best explanation that they could. What? The bellows, you mean? And his bottom?
Well, it's just after the second or third corpse, one rather gets a taste for it.
And he was sweeping the house in the nude, as you do. And
so, you know, he'll show you in there, and, you know.
So, right, so he's going to prepare this.
Yeah, so we've got you know, the glass plate, which has to be completely clean as a whistle, sir.
It's an odd expression, though.
You should see the state of my whistle.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the inside of a whistle, it's going to be full of spit, isn't it?
Probably quite manky, sir. Correct.
Manky,
right.
Indeed, yes, that's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Very odd expression. Oh, well.
And then we've got... So, this is your collodion. You've got your... collodion mixed with some salts.
Ah, a bit of seasoning, yes.
And so you coat the plate with that. That's your wet plate, you know. And that's all fine. And then what you do here is you need some you need your silver nitrate. So I make the silver nitrate for the special photos, as you were saying. What I do is I take your jar here. Pulls out this extremely fancy ceramic jar. Take a little. He's got a little spoon, takes a little scoop of silver dust out of it, and begins stirring it into I can't even remember whichever liquid it is you dissolve it in to make silver nitrate.
Nitric acid?
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't do anything that, you know, somebody listening might be able to reproduce.
That's true, yeah. I'll deliberately introduce errors.
Yeah, well, Shim, this...
Kids, leave the nitric acid in the kitchen cupboard where it belongs.
Yeah. And then...
What I'm doing is keeping a careful eye on what the silver container looks like and where it goes away to.
It looks like an extremely fancy ceramic jar.
Yeah.
Not really the sort of thing you would expect to see here.
Are there either of you got chemistry or anything? Is that even a thing? Have either of you got alchemy?
Very much the wrong thing there.
We've got a periodic table by now.
You know how there are a lot of science skills? I'm equally good at all of them.
Me too.
I'm a little better at theology.
To be
so
fair,
I could pray for inspiration.
I think you might have someone with you. Why?
Yeah. To be fair, I do believe that.
Why did we send the two people who are good at theology?
Sinister GM screen, lovely.
I should have mailed it to the Marx Brothers.
That's what the jar looks like.
Hmm.
Quite fancy. So yes, I'll definitely check with him. Where the shop was.
I was going to make a canopic jar, but my heart wasn't in it.
Probably best not to, then, I mean. I feel like it's quite a serious endeavour.
Because if you meant your actual heart, then... Well, I mean, you wouldn't do it for your own, would you? I think a priest does. No? Well, I suppose a potter, actually, before you get to that. Anyway, Shim, you were saying.
You've got this
Yep.
You've got some appraise or medicine between you?
Obviously not. Jesus Christ.
Not significant.
10% appraise. Fine.
To be fair, I'm laughing like I was the useful person there because I do.
The captain has actually probably got the best medicine up with a first aid of 50.
Have we possibly got exactly the wrong team in the wrong place?
How's your... So, was that no one medicine?
No medicine, no praise.
No.
How's your Latin?
I presume that the Reverend knows a little.
Well, languages... I didn't put
he's
it
learned
as
it
such,
by rote.
Yeah, most likely.
I assume both of you have done Latin at some point.
Yes, I probably recognise a word or two, but...
Yeah. So, you...
I've just made theology by half.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a relevant phrase or whatever, I might get something.
So it's not, you don't think it's a relevant phrase. It's, you're confident it's Italian, but
I can't have it. Oh, that's
fairly,
right.
You think fairly old Italian. You've probably seen some old,
medieval sort of stuff.
Texts.
You think,
Yeah, maybe medieval. And your knowledge of Latin is good enough that you can remember the phrase and look it up later.
Right.
If you wish. Yeah.
Make a note when the occasion arises.
Also make a note of the shop that he found it, or roughly where
in Otley.
Apparently. Yeah, I know it was in Otley. So
it's Otley Bazaar.
Was that a sort of joke?
No. It's the Otley Bazaar.
Is that that's a pun?
You're convinced
isn't it?
That's a pun, aren't you?
That sounds like a pun to me.
It
sounds like a bad
it's
pun.
The name of a shop.
Very much my type of pun.
4 o'clock in the morning, you'll suddenly wake up laughing and realise it's not a pun. No.
Oh, is it not? Come on,
yeah,
it must be.
Yeah, observing where.
If that's not a pun, then it's utterly bizarre.
Also, the shelves are all carefully labelled in neat complete.
Sounds like
with exactly where everything
like,
is supposed to go.
Sounds like utterly bizarre.
It does, doesn't it? I like how we're just ignoring Mark sitting in the pitch darkness.
Oh, is he still there?
Pitch dark.
Looming out of the dark. He's lit by our glorious faces.
I might be able to actually. I wonder if. I think there's supposed to be a dude.
You can't reach through the screen, Mark. That only works in horror movies.
I got a slight chill.
The only downside is, can you hear that?
Yes.
What? Hear what?
Yeah.
I can hear you. No.
Better?
Didn't change
the writer. Yeah. Your retina's all right.
No, apparently there's a doodad on the camera.
Right. One of those actual... Like, okay. Hmm. Although, now that you've found the solution, we are going to have to wrap up pretty soonish, if that's all right.
You also look like you're about to be murdered on a YouTube video or something.
You finish having the chemical process explained to you. And... if you wish, he will take and develop a picture for you.
Could you perhaps take one of your assistants? That way we can see what you're doing behind the camera, as it were.
See, so yeah. Dutton, close the shop a minute.
And obviously we would, for artistic purposes, prefer your assistant au naturel.
Otherwise, posed as Britannia... on the back of a lion with a shield.
Just a moment. Horace!
Number three.
We need it. Lion comes out.
It's an 87-year-old man carrying a toupee.
Puts it round his neck, goes rah. He will take a photograph of Dutton for you.
All right. And how long does it take for these things to develop from this stage, then? After we've all been standing very quietly for 20 minutes waiting for the photo.
It's actually surprisingly quick. 20 minutes. A few minutes, perhaps.
Yeah.
You're not sure how much of that was what he was doing in that various points, or he's trying to explain. But, there's a little processing to carry on at this point. It should be need to process and dry, and then it should be available for you to take a look.
Fascinating.
Marvellous. And then we'll certainly take your card and perhaps make an appointment once I've had a word with the family.
Of course, sir. Very welcome.
As we fade out on the walking way, so Robert will burn it down.
Well,
why not both?
Perhaps it would be easier once there's only one of them there, because if our theory is right, it's possible that his assistant may be suffering a fatal apoplexy before long.
Well, it may take a few weeks, though, on past four.
Oh, Robert, then. I mean, you've got the robes for the thing, haven't you? Oh, dear. You're bound by the old thou shalt not steal business, are you?
Well, it's more a guideline.
The 10 guidelines.
I mean, if one is, for example, stealing to feed the poor.
Hints. I suppose, really, if this is what's killed a man, then removing it isn't stealing. It's saving lives.
Indeed, indeed.
Yes, well, I mean, in that case, I suppose it would be our Christian duty to do this.
Absolutely.
In fact, to not do it would be a sin.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Boo. Well, you're still here.
me? No, sir. No, no.
Right.
Well, then.
We shall.
I feel like we made some progress. I feel like the other characters made some progress there.
Against the odds.
Very good.
Yeah, you found one of the routes that you can make progress with.
One of the routes.
I've met players before. There's multiple different gentleman. Ways you can investigate this mystery.
Okay, we need to burn this to the ground and find a different one.
I was just about to say burn it to the ground.
There'll still be things I haven't thought of, like let's go to the funeral. should have thought of that one.
Surely was the main...
As a playtester,
there's one timed event that we know of.
That might
surely you were expecting us to be there.
All right, well, there we go.
Would you like, if you'd like another behind-the-scenes look at how my brain works... one last job. Guess what I didn't predict that players might try and do?
I don't know, I haven't played any of them.
Break into the office?
Try to find the object that all of the suspicious NPCs are trying to find?
Have you never heard of a MacGuffin, Jim?
In my head, it was sufficiently a MacGuffin that no one would bother trying to find it.
If people didn't bother finding MacGuffins, that would ruin a lot of films.
It's just like
Ark of the Covenant. Now,
I'll try and work out what's going on. No, it's going to find lots of frantic trying to work out what is exactly what. How is this thing hidden? I had the vague ideas, but trying to crystallize it into something on the fly was. Anyway,
well, lovely. Thank you, Jim. Roger, I'll see you tomorrow for reboning.
Yep, see you then.
That sounds much more like boning than I meant. ribbon.
You know, the unfortunate thing with looking up the translation for this jar, Shim, is it goes straight to the Met Museum page for the object.
I have already discovered that. But I was polite enough to keep it to myself.
That's fine, it's not a problem.
Anyway,
thank
you
so much.
Yeah.
Indeed, and all
bye
that.
For now.
Cheers. Bye, everybody. Thanks all.
Bye.